Take your Bibles, if you will, and open them to Ephesians. We're going to take a break this week from our studies of the Old Testament. Spend some time this morning here in the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans, mainly. We want to begin in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 8 we read, "For by grace you have been saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." For by grace. It is by grace, according to verse 5 of the same chapter, that we are made alive. It is by grace that we are made alive, verse 6, in Christ. But it is through the faith, the gospel system of faith, that we are saved by grace. But notice what it's not. It's not by works. It's not by works that any man might boast. We want to see three things this morning as we go through our study. Number one, the need for grace. Do we need it and why? The need for grace, number one. Number two, the benefit of grace. What does grace provide? Why should we want grace? But then thirdly, the obtaining of grace. How is it that grace is obtained if it is that which we need, and if that is it is that which benefits us, how can we get it? Let's begin in Genesis chapter 2. The need for grace begins in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. For in the Garden of Eden, as Adam has been created and God here lays forth the very first, what we might consider, law, He says, "You shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat thereof, and in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." He says, here's the consequence for transgression. Here's the law. We understand, 1 John chapter 2, that sin, or 1 John chapter 3, that sin is the transgression of the law. And here's the consequence of the transgression. For the very first law to have ever been broken, the consequence was death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read by the hand of Paul that the wages of sin is death. You earned it. But remember, grace of God, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9, is not of works that any man should boast. But notice, Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we find an emphasis going back to Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. For in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, the law was given. Genesis 3, the transgression was made, and Adam and Eve died. They did not die physically, they died spiritually. But death physically entered into the world at that point as well. But in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, notice what we read. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men," because why is it death spread to all men? It began with Adam. It entered into the world through Adam. It is taken care of through the second Adam, that is Christ. But why is it that it spread to all men? The end of verse 12, because all sin. You did not inherit sin from Adam. You did not get it because you were born of the seed of man and therefore it came down through some gene. You did not obtain it because you were in some way sinful in your very nature when you were born. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it spread to all man because all sinned. Amazingly, Calvinists will come to this very chapter and try to prove that you're born sinful. It's not what the text says. The text says it spread to all men because all sin. So let's take a moment. Genesis 2, God said, you transgress, you die. Romans 5 said that death entered through one man through his sin, but it reigned over man. Why? Because all sin. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. You cannot sin and be guilty without law. It is by law that death reigned. Notice verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. And the idea there is not from Adam to Moses and then after Moses lived, there was no more death. From Adam through the old law, sin reigned. Why? Because all men were guilty of the law. Verse 16 and 17. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So here we have Paul saying that there is this gift. What gift is he referring to? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift is the grace which leads to eternal life. He says, but the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. So, Genesis 2, there was law. There was transgression. There was death. And there was condemnation. And from Genesis 3 forward, all who sin died. And all who died as a result of sin fell under condemnation. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you have not put on Christ by believing that He is the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, that is conforming your life to His commandments, if you have not confessed Him and if you have not been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, you stand condemned to death for sin. But notice verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He came to bring grace. But there's a step beyond that that we need to understand. A step beyond law, transgression, sin, death, condemnation. Isaiah chapter 59. Verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. God doesn't have a lack of reach. God's problem is not that you're too far from Him. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's ears aren't clogged. God doesn't have a difficulty hearing your prayers. But if you stand condemned through transgression of the law by sin and are therefore dead, He cannot hear you. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. In chapter 58 of Isaiah, and in verse 1, God tells Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not. Don't stop. Don't hold back. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. God says to Isaiah, you make them aware. Why? For they cannot be saved until they repent. What's that tell us? There's a need for grace. But the benefit of grace. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates His love, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Here, Paul, in writing to the Romans, says that we are justified by the blood of Christ. That we are justified and that we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from wrath. You remember in that progression that we went through earlier? Law, transgression, sin, death, condemnation. Where does the wrath of God come in? Right there. You stand condemned. You have to your own name nothing in relationship to God but His wrath as long as you stand condemned. Outside of His grace, outside of the blood of Christ, there is nothing but wrath. But notice also, chapter 4 of the book of Romans, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, remember chapter 5 says we're justified by the blood of Christ. But if, just suppose, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. If it is that Abraham was justified by his deeds through merit, he has whereof to boast, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Was Abraham righteous of himself? No. He was not, nor could he be. He was obedient in faith, and it was accounted for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 says that we are saved by grace, verse 8, not of works, that if any man should boast. if you were saved because you earned it through the works that you did, you would make God in debt to you. Consider. You've made an agreement to go to an employer to spend X amount of hours or X amount of time or achieve X amount of goals, and in exchange, he pays you X amount of money. Understand that when you've filled in your 40 hours, but he hasn't paid you debt, he is in debt to you. Why? Because he made an agreement, this amount of money for this amount of time, and until that's paid, you are owed that amount of money. Why? Because you earned it. You say, well, I didn't work very hard this week. It was a slow week. You earned it just the same because it was the agreed upon price for your time. Now, if God were to hand you 100 million laws of acts that you must do, and in the next 1,000 years you completed every single one of them, guess what? You still haven't earned salvation. And you cannot ever earn salvation. It is not by works of merit that any man should boast. But notice, in the benefit of grace, there is the justification by the blood of Christ. There is the saving from wrath, chapter 3 of the book of Romans. We often spend time in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is the benefit of grace? It is the redemption of your life. You sinned. You fell. You earned death. You earned condemnation. God bought you back. What did it cost you? Nothing. It was free. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. What did your redemption cost? Not your blood, but Christ. But notice, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in. That's location. We'll talk about that in a moment. That is in Christ Jesus. But verse 25, He says, whom God set forth, who? Christ. God set forth as a propitiation. If you were here in the adult Bible class this morning, we talked about propitiation. It is a sufficient sacrifice that is in the place of something else. It's a sufficient substitution. Whom God set forth as a propitiation? By His blood. So verse 24, we have grace and redemption. The propitiation brought about through the blood of Christ. By His blood, through faith. We've come back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But He says, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, we are saved by grace through faith, through the faith, the gospel system of faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says we are saved by faith. Saved by grace through faith in Christ. So the benefit of grace is justification. Being able to stand before the one who is just, having been justified. The benefit of grace is salvation. Having been saved from wrath. The benefit of grace is redemption. Being bought back from that which we earned by our sin. But the obtaining of grace. The obtaining of grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, as we've already mentioned, is not by works of merit whereby one may boast. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It is also not by the works of the law of Moses. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 16, Paul, in writing to the churches of Galatia, writes to them concerning the law, concerning these things, and he says this, verse 16, knowing that a man is not, notice, is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Paul says it is impossible to be justified by the works of the law. In context, having sinned. Having fallen from perfection through sin, you cannot be justified by the law of Moses and the deeds of that law. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13, we read, and you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The old law, the handwriting of ordinances, the old writing of requirements has been nailed to the cross. You cannot be justified by the works of the law. So the conclusion is that we are saved by grace through the gospel, by faith in Jesus Christ, apart from works. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 23. You may remember this statement. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Now, Abraham, Romans chapter 4, had through his faith, it was accounted for righteousness, but he didn't earn it. It was not by works, for had it been by works, he would have earned it. God would have owed it to him. But God didn't. So verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works. Now wait a minute. Either Paul's wrong or James is wrong if they're both talking about works of merit. If Paul is saying you cannot be justified by works because God would then owe you and God owes you nothing, it cannot be salvation by works. And if James is saying you're justified by works, and he means works of merit, one of them's wrong. But they're using the same proof text. They're using the exact same illustration, Abraham. So what is it in Abraham that we find justification not by works, but by works? It is in his faith. Notice, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So the faith and the works combined together bring about justification. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Some might say, you are justified by grace. You are saved by grace through faith alone. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches very plainly you are justified by grace. You are saved by grace through faith, by faith in Christ Jesus and works of obedience. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. While you're turning there, say, for instance, tomorrow or next weekend, you go to a nearby lake and you get out on the lake and you've done something foolish. Got out on a boat on the lake by yourself and you can't swim. And you left the life preserver on the shore. That was pretty foolish. But say, you're just in that situation. And the boat you're in sinks. Now you're in the middle of the lake, and you're drowning. And the life preserver is on the shore, and you have no hope. Until you notice that there's a man standing on the shore, and you begin with all your might to cry out to him to save you. He turns, he sees you, he heads your way, but in all the commotion, he has a heart attack and falls down dead on the shoulder. Question. Just how likely is it that he's going to save you now? He's dead. You going to be saved by the dead man? He going to bring the life preserver that's sitting on the shore out to you? No. That's exactly how likely it is that you're going to be saved by faith only, without works. James says faith without works is dead. So what works are acceptable? If works of merit are not, and works of the law are not, then what works are? Mark chapter 16. And in verse 16, Jesus says, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Now the Greek could be literally translated there. He who having believed and having been baptized will be saved. What works are acceptable? You might further ask, what works were acceptable for Abraham? Works of obedience. Grace. It saves you. And you need it. For outside of grace, you stand dead and condemned. It benefits you because it justifies you. It redeems you and it saves you from the wrath of a holy and a just God. And you obtain it by obedience through faith. Are you willing to do that this morning? If you have need of responding to the invitation, why not come as we stand and as we sing?